Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Preach on this tonight. One thing that's interesting in studying is studying the chronological order of the events of Christ. In other words, not necessarily the way it's all written in the Bible, but the dates and the chronological order of it. And one thing that I found today, this is interesting to me, I'm going to study it some more, but you know the story of the rich man and Lazarus that was given there, and how the rich man cried for Lazarus to be resurrected from the dead to go tell his brothers. And of course, Abraham said he's got Moses and the prophets. And the next chronological thing that happens in the life of Christ that's recorded after that, you'll find in John chapter number 11 when he raises a man named Lazarus from the dead. And I find that interesting, and it's real interesting when you study the chronological order of the life of Christ and the things that he done. I'll say this to you, Christ was an amazing man. He was an amazing man. And you can't get him figured out. You can just say, you're never going to be able, I'm going to spend the rest of my life studying about him, but you're never going to be able to get him figured out. But what an amazing God we serve, amen. And I began looking at his miracles again, just going back through, and we know it's not all of them. Not all of them's recorded in the Bible. Matter of fact, the earth couldn't contain everything he done, amen. But just going back and looking at those miracles that's recorded, and probably the most amazing miracles to me that's recorded is those he rose from the dead. And I find that interesting. I was thinking about, I'll talk to you or preach to you here in just a minute, but I was thinking about the Pool of Bethesda today. Can you imagine what it was like that day when Jesus, I try to go there. I don't know about you, but I try to go there. I like to sit there. I like to sit on the bank when David come charging after Goliath with a rock and a sling. And I wonder if David let out one of them Lumbee Indian squalls, Brother Charles, whenever he was running after Goliath that day. I like to try to be there. Matter of fact, Buster Seaton could preach an Old Testament story and you were sitting there, man. You lived it while he was preaching it. But could you imagine all the people around the Pool of Bethesda that day and why Jesus went to that one? Why he picked him out? Why he went to that one? And I thought about this. There's a lot of people sitting around the church one night, but I sure am glad that he singled me out. Came to where I was at, knew my condition, knew my need, knew there wasn't nobody else could help me but him, amen, and said exactly what I needed, amen. And the Lord's an amazing, amazing, amazing character to study. And I don't mean that any discredit by calling him a character, but you understand what I'm saying, amen. Luke 11, look with me, you can remain seated. Look in verse number 1. Verse number 1 is from what I can study. Is the only thing that the disciples ever asked the Lord to teach them. Look what he says. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And they said, Lord, we're interested in knowing how to pray. Now, you've heard me say this before, but let me say it again. I find it interesting that they didn't ask him to teach them how to preach. They didn't ask him to teach them how to heal the sick or to make the lame to walk or the deaf to hear or the blind to see. They didn't ask him to teach them how to raise the dead. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And evidently, they had saw something in the prayer life of Christ, and they knew that's where the difference was made at. I want to say this to you tonight. We can prepare for a Sunday school lesson, and we should. Somebody say amen. If you start preparing for your Sunday school lesson on Saturday night, I hope that you'd have enough God about you to ask to be removed from your class. I believe in preparing to teach, amen, preparing, getting ready for it. And we can prepare for it, and we should. Brother Matt prepares for the singing on Sunday morning. We have, he sends it out now, what the songs may be, but we all know that's a subject to changing at any given moment, but it's just simple preparation, amen. It's being the best we can be. I believe you ought to study the Word of God before we preach. Well, I'm going to tell you, we can have everything in order, but if we don't pray, it's all in vain. And I'm afraid sometimes where we're missing it today is in the ministry of praying. It's in the ministry of praying. They may take our Bibles away from us, but they can't take prayer away from us. They may lock us up in a jail cell, but we can be like Paul and pray at midnight, amen? They can't take prayer away from us. And I am all for, you know this, I am all for everything being top-notch. I'm all for when visitors come, everything's in order. But I'm going to tell you something, what we need more than anything is we need to pray before our services. We need to pray that the power of God rests on our services, that conviction falls on the sinner and draws the sinner to an altar of salvation. They said, Lord, we want to know how to pray. I want to ask you, so how's your prayer life tonight? How much have you talked with the Lord today? I remember, and you've heard me tell this story before, but that's all right. I remember the beginning of every year, we always challenged the church with a 21-day Daniel fast. Now, I remember one year we challenged it with 40 days, and Dad done that 40 days with us. We talked about it during that time, and I remember at the end of that, he went what's that place called in King? Dario got a foot-long loaded hot dog and French fries and regretted it not long after that, but he done that 40-day fast where we didn't do any meat, any sweets, or anything for 40 days. And about halfway through that, Dad and I was talking about it. And here's what he said. He said, I'm really praying that God would help me to live in a spirit of prayer these 40 days. And I want to tell you something. That should be our desire every day of our life. He said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We can pray. I remember Brother Milton Taylor, one of the greatest prayer warriors I know today, is Milton Taylor. Matter of fact, I've got a video of my phone of him praying with me and our girls in an old Chevrolet truck I had in a motel parking lot. I pulled in to let him off, and he said, Brother Bark, I think I need to pray a while. And he just started praying. You that knows Brother Taylor, he just started praying. And the girls kindly looked at me, and I was like, you better bow your head. Jesus come in here and smack you. That's Brother Taylor praying. Are you with me? And one of the most praying men that I know, and I'll never forget one night we had went out to eat, and Jonathan and Nicole was here then, and Heath and Morgan was here then, and we got done eating, and we went outside, and Brother Taylor carried a little notepad in his pocket, and he pulled that out, and he said, now what's your name? And he wrote their names down, and he closed it up, and he put it back in his pocket. And he left and drove off, and Brother Jonathan, Brother Heath said, does that mean what we think it means? I said, that means he's going to pray for you every day. Now, that's exactly what that means. He's a praying man, and here's what he told me. He said, some of the greatest times that I have in prayer is looking out the windshield. He said, I drive all the time going to meetings, and he said, as I'm driving, I'm praying, oh God, help the preacher I'm going to be with. And he's one of the most praying men that I know. How's our prayer life tonight? We have no excuse not to pray. We have no excuse. Say, preacher, I can't read good. What does that have to do with praying? Say, preacher, my attention span is not good. What does that have to do with praying? How's our prayer life tonight? My pastor and my dad has always said this, if you want to see God do things, pray. If you really want to see God do things, fast and pray. Our prayer life tonight, I want to talk to you about praying for just a little while tonight. He goes on and he gives that model prayer, and then he picks up in verse number 5 and he says this, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. The Bible said in verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I want you to note something with me at the end of verse number 9. The punctuation at the end of verse number 9 is not a question mark, it's a period. He said, if you'll do it, I'll do it. Did you catch that? He said, if you'll do it, I'll do it. He goes on to verse number 10 and says, for everyone that asketh receiveth. He reaffirms it to us. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will you for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will ye offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, watch the next three words. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He said, if you as an earthly father would take care of your children, how much more will our heavenly Father take care of us if we'll just go to him and ask? Let me tell you the reason a lot of our prayers are not getting answered, because we're never asking them. It's a thought that runs through our mind, but just because it's a thought that runs through our mind don't mean that it's a prayer that comes out our mouth. Are you with me? We think, I need to pray for this, but do we? Somebody comes up to us and says, hey, will you help me pray about this? Hear me and hear me well. Don't say yes unless you're going to. If somebody says, hey, will you pray for me, and you say yes and you don't pray for them, guess what? You just lied. Are you with me? You just lied. You say, preacher, what do you do? Well, I'm glad you asked me. I'll tell you. If you walk up to me after service tonight and you say, I need you to pray for my daughter, I'm going to say this. I'll be glad to help you pray for your daughter. And as you're walking off, immediately, I'm going to go, God, would you help their daughter? And God, would you help me to write that down and pray more for their daughter? But I'm going to pray immediately if somebody asks me to pray for them, and I tell them to. I tell them I'm going to. How's our prayer life tonight? He shows us right here some things about our prayer. Can I show you three things? Number one, we are to pray with great determination. With great determination. Verse 5 through 8 deals with that. Verse 5 through 8, this man had great determination in his asking. There was a great energy in his request. With great determination. I thought about this. The Bible said this in James 5, 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The Bible then goes on to say, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It availeth much. What prayer availeth much? The effectual, fervent prayer. I looked at that word fervent, and a lot of people says it's red hot, and it does in a roundabout way mean that. It means hot, it means boiling, and it also means this, earnest. Earnest. We're earnest in our prayer. That earnest prayer is the one that God's going to hear and the one that availeth much. When we pray tonight, do we pray with determination? Are we determined for the Lord to hear us? I thought about what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What does it say? It says, let us therefore come boldly. That word boldly means with confidence, without timidity or fear. Man, we can boldly approach the throne of grace tonight. We can, with confidence, talk to God tonight. And it's not because of anything we've done. Man, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But thank God the day I got saved, His righteousness became my righteousness. And now I have access into the throne room of grace. I don't have to go through a pope with no hope that calls himself father, dresses like mother, and can't have babies. I can go straight to the throne of God. I can sit down at the throne of God. I can talk to God Himself with all confidence that if I approach Him with sin out of my life, He's going to lend His ear to the prayer and to the supplication that we're taking to Him. We can pray with determination tonight. We can know that He hears us. Amen. We can know that. We can know that. I thought about this. I remember as a kid growing up, somebody would say, "Can I come home with you?" And when I was growing up, that was a big thing on Sundays, is to go home with somebody. And I would say, "Well, you go ask my daddy or you go ask my mom." And everybody was scared to death of my mom and daddy because they was a pastor and he's mean, preach meaner than a junkyard dog. And mama fussed at all the little kids and they saw the way she beat me, so they was all scared of her. And kind of like it is me and Leslie today. But anyway, I'd say, "Well, you go ask him." And they would say this, "No, he's your daddy. You go ask him." Can I say something to you? I don't have to have you go ask my Heavenly Father for me. He's my daddy tonight. Whereby I cry, "Abba, Father," we can with determination know that we can approach the throne of God and not just approach it, man. We can talk to Him and He can talk to us tonight. This man in our text, he approaches this man with great determination. He's in need, and his neighbor is asleep. But what does he do? He goes to him and he asks. He goes to him and he asks. I thought about this. Whenever you study this out, Bible scholars, and whenever you look at the tenses of all of this, tell us that it is written in a sense that means to continue. It means to do something not just once, but to do it over and over again. What Jesus is telling us is this: don't give up. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Don't give up. Pray with great determination that God will hear and God will answer our prayers. You say, "Preacher, when does it become vain repetition?" I don't know, but I know this: when your heart's burdened and you're talking to Him about a need over and over, I don't believe it becomes vain repetition. It's a great determination. Number one, pray with great determination. How's your prayer life tonight? Number two, pray with great expectation. Great expectation. You know what I'm expecting God to do Sunday? I'm expecting God to kick a honey bucket over on us. Amen. I want to ask you something. What are you expecting God to do in your Sunday school class Sunday morning? Are you with me? What are you expecting God to do? You expecting Him to grow your class. What are you expecting God to do? I thought about this, and Brother Elijah and Miss Maddie wasn't late. They stepped over and talked to the kids and made sure everything was going good over there. But as I studying again today, here's exactly what I thought. I wonder what they're expecting God to do in the youth group. I wonder what are we expecting God to do? When we pray, do we expect Him to hear us? That expectation. I remember as a boy growing up, we'd go to vacation every once in a while, and I remember Gene and Ima Jean Thacker had a little trailer at Sunset Beach, and I remember the first time we went there, and Ken and Becky Price went with us, some of Daddy's good preacher friends back then, and Mama's good friends back then went with us, and I remember driving there, and I never asked, "Are we there yet?" My sister did all the time. But I was just a peaceful kid. I sat in the back, looked out the window, never talked, just listened to the conversation. But I couldn't wait till we got there. The expectation was high. And in all honesty, man, today a lot of people would say it wasn't much. But as a boy, when we got there, man, it was amazing. It had a front porch built on it that was covered in. It was amazing. What is our expectation? Maybe the reason you're not getting much at church is because you're not praying and expecting much. Now, I understand there's sometimes that the preacher may miss it a little bit, or the choir may be off just a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something. If you come to church expecting God to do something, it don't matter if the choir misses it and the preacher misses it. God will still give you something. We are to pray with great expectation. What are you believing God for right now? What are you trusting God for right now? What are you believing Him for, man? You say, well, what do you believe in God for? I don't want to share it all with you. It would scare you if I shared it all with you. You say, ah, preacher, I'm just telling you something. I'm not satisfied. I'm not going to be satisfied. Where there is no vision, people perish, man. We need to pray with great expectation. What did He say? Look in verse number 9 and 10. And I say unto you, I ask, and it shall be given you. What about that? Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and to him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Notice the Lord promises to answer our prayers in these verses. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, but six times in two verses, He says, I'll do it. Now what about that? Six times in two verses, He says, I'll do it. Now, I'll tell you something tonight. The reason we may not be seeing God do what we think God needs to do is maybe because we're not asking God to do it. Maybe it's just a thought in our mind, but it's not a prayer in our heart. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Six times in two verses, Jesus promises to answer our prayers. But also notice that these promises cover every situation. We ask for what we wish. We seek for what we miss. We knock for that from which we feel ourselves shut out from. When knocking, we try every door until we find the right one. Once we find the right door, we continue knocking until we gain entrance. Don't give up on the prayer you're praying. Don't give up on your expectations of God answering it. You may be thinking in the back of your mind, does God even hear me? I promise you, if you're His child and you're approaching His throne with sin out of your life, I promise you God hears you. Don't give up on the prayer that you're praying. I read this story. There was a missionary by the name of George Mueller. If you've never studied his life, man, you ought to study his life. He was born in 1805. George Mueller was one of the greatest prayer warriors of all times. He kept a prayer journal over his long life that recorded, listen to this, it recorded over 50,000 answered prayers that he had prayed. What about that? He recorded it. Over 50,000 answered prayers that he had prayed. You say, well, that's unbelievable. You know what he done? He prayed determined and he prayed expecting. He believed God would do it. Think about this. As I continued reading about him, here's what I found out. Dr. A.T. Pearson talked with George shortly before he died in 1898. Pearson asked George Mueller if any of his prayers had not been answered. George replied that for 62 years, he had prayed for two men who were still not saved. Pearson asked this, do you expect God to convert them? George Mueller replied, certainly. Do you suppose that God would put upon His child for 62 years the burden of two souls if He had not purpose of their salvation? Can I just say that again? Maybe you didn't hear it. Here's what he replied to him. Do you expect God to convert them? Certainly. Do you suppose that God would put on His child for 62 years the burden of two souls if He had not purpose of their salvation? I shall certainly, listen to what he says, I shall certainly meet them in heaven. He said, I shall certainly meet them. You know what he was doing? He was expecting God to do something. He was believing God would do it. After George died, Dr. Pearson was preaching in Bristol. And he had told about their conversation. At the end of the service, a lady came up to Dr. Pearson and said, one of those men was my uncle. He was saved before he died a few weeks ago. The other man who lived in Dublin was also one to the Lord before he died. Let me tell you the reason why. Because George Mueller for 62 years prayed for him. He used to say, "Preacher, I've been praying for some things for a long time. Let me tell you something. I believe here's what George Mueller would say to us tonight. Don't ever give up. Just keep on praying. Just keep on..." Amen. Just keep... You say, "Preacher, why are you getting excited?" Because I believe God's going to do some things. Just keep on praying, man. Just keep... Hey, be determined. Be expecting God to do it. I said this the other night, but let me say it again. Why do we act surprised when God answers our prayers? We say this, "Well, I can't believe the Lord done that." Well, ain't that what we ask Him to do? I said it just the other night whenever we talked about Brother Elijah and Miss Madison. I said, "I can't believe the Lord done this," but ain't that what we ask Him to do? Is that not what we ask Him to do? I would say this. Number one, we need to pray with great determination. Number two tonight, we need to pray with great expectation. We need to believe that God will do it. We need to believe that God would do it. I'll give you this and then I'll move on. It's raining outside. You're going to stand in here till it quits raining, so I might as well preach a little while. I thought about this, and you know that I enjoy reading on leadership. I read stuff on leadership every day of my life. I'm constantly trying to learn new things about leadership because I want to be a good leader. I want to be a godly leader. And I read a lot of things on leadership. And one of them was talking about, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but he was talking about whenever we set our goals, don't set them too low because we'll meet them quickly, and then what are we going to do? He said that we set our goals high. We try to achieve high in our goals, and that's the way we should be. But I'm going to tell you something. In our prayers, we're to ask God for some hard things. Are you with me? A lot of times we take easy things to God. I'll never forget Mark Stewart was a missionary we supported for years. And Mark Stewart, his wife, her name then was Cookie. She come down with cancer. Brother Stewart told me about an old preacher up in Robbinsville in Graham County. And he told him about that. Whenever he told him, he said that old preacher, I'm sure Dad probably heard Brother Mark tell this story, said that old preacher looked at him and here's what he said. He said, "Son, don't you understand that cancer is no more than a mosquito bite to God?" You know what he was saying? He was saying, "I believe God can do anything He wants to do. Son, if Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb and said, 'Lazarus, come forth,' and he came out alive, he can do anything. If he can die himself and be buried in a grave and be dead 3 days and get up victorious over death, hell, and the grave and ascend into the heavens 40 days later and send the Holy Ghost to us to help us until then, he can do anything." And I just say it this way. A lot of times we said this as little boys. My daddy's better than your daddy. And I just say this. My Heavenly Father is the greatest of all. And when I approach Him, I can approach Him with determination. And I can approach Him with expectation that He'll do what we ask Him to do according to His will. Number three. Now we've talked about us. Let's talk about Him in closing in verse 11 through 13. Not only do we seek God with great determination and great expectation, but in closing, let's picture our Heavenly Father's dedication. We talked about it. Let's talk about His dedication. Look in verse number 11. "If a son asked bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Goes on to say, If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Let's think about the Heavenly Father's dedication. Jesus wants us to know for sure that our Heavenly Father answers our prayers. What better example does He give, can He give, of that of an earthly father that loves his child and wants to do good for his child? There's no sacrifice. that they wouldn't make for their children. There's no good thing they wouldn't keep from their children. Think about the children you have here in our church. Do you think if any of them asked their parents for bread, they would give them a rock? I mean, do you really think if Graylin walked up to her daddy and said, "Daddy, can I have bread?" he would give her a rock to eat? That's the example that he's given us here. And he says this, if we as flesh know how to take care of our children, how much more? I like that. How much more does God know how to take care of us? The dedication that God has to us. Years ago, Dr. Charlie Shedd held a contest called One Neat Dad. He asked contestants to send in letters of recommendation of why their dad should be the greatest dad and the dad honored. Here's the top 10 qualities the children appreciated in their dads. He listened to me. He invites me to go places with him. He lets me help him. He lets me say what I need to say. He is nice to my friend. He only punishes me when I deserve it. You could tell this was years ago. But that was one of the top 10 things. He only punishes me when I deserve it. Now, I got to thinking about that. Is that not just like our Heavenly Father today? I'm glad no matter what it is that's on my heart, amen, I can approach Him. And I can say, "God, here's the way I feel. I'm glad when I don't understand what's going on in my life, I can go to Him and I can say, God, in the right manner, I can say, God, I don't understand this. God, here's the way." Hey, He knows the intents of our hearts anyway. Can I say that again? He knows the intents of our heart anyway. He knows the thoughts that's going through our mind anyway. I sure am glad that I can go to Him and I can cry out to Him. And there is a dedication and a determination from our Heavenly Father to take care of us. Here's what the Bible said in Psalms 103. Miss Tina, do you care to come start playing something softly? Here's what the Bible said in Psalms 103. He said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity." Thank God for that. "For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust." I'm glad that I've got a Heavenly Father tonight that I can go to and that I can approach and that I can remember His dedication to take care of me. His dedication to take care of me. I remember growing up, 1989, we was in Berlin. And we had stayed. They had just started taking the Berlin Wall down. Matter of fact, there's three walls. You that knows history knows that. And whenever we had got there in 1989, they had just opened the roadways that went in between East and West Berlin, the communist and the non-communist side. And the roadways was the only thing that the walls were still standing. Still standing. And I remember that we had to stay one night on what used to be the communist side, because everybody from communism had came over to the free side, even though it was all free then. We had to stay in a motel there. And it was me and Daddy and Tom Harden in one room. And there was two twin beds in it, and they pushed them two beds together. And I don't know if you know this or not, but even when you take two wood frame beds, it's twins, and push them together, they still a big gap in the middle. And guess who got to sleep in the gap? I stood in the gap. The Bible said, "I looked for a man to stand in the gap," but that night He didn't say, "I found none." He didn't find me. I was made to go in the gap that night. I'll never forget the next morning. We got up, and whenever we got up, we came down and We was going to cross the road. Brother Dewey Fisher was a missionary we was with. We was going to cross the road to go over to the other side of where we park at and leave. And for some reason, Dr. Thurman Wade was with us. He was over at Macedonia World Baptist Missions then. He was with us, and he took off running across the road. I'll never forget, I was just a kid in 1989. He took off running across the road, and whenever he did, there was a car coming. And that car hit him right there in Berlin. He flipped up in the air and hit the ground face down. I thought, well, he's dead. He's dead. There was some police officers there. They pulled out into the road, never asked if he was okay. Only thing they was interested in was our passports. That's what they were screaming the whole time, passport, 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 passport. We showed them our passport and they left. Dr. Wade was laying in the road. But I'll never forget, I don't even know if Daddy remembers this. When I started to take off out there just out of nature, my daddy grabbed me and pulled me back. Why? Because he was taking care of his son. Because how many times have we started to do something and we really didn't need to be doing? And our Heavenly Father, because of His dedication to us, grabbed us and pulled us back to safety. Are you with me? We've got a Heavenly Father that'll take care of us. And I'm glad that we can go to Him with determination and with great expectation. And I'm glad His dedication is that He'll take care of it. He said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. Maybe the reason we're not getting is because we're not asking. Are you with me tonight? Miss Helen's sitting back there. Boy, I'm glad she's feeling better. And I remember whenever I was sick, Leslie asked me one day, she said, what are you wanting to eat? And I said, why don't you call Miss Helen? I want some vegetable soup for Miss Helen. And you know what? I knew the only way I was going to get that vegetable soup was to ask for it. And I also knew that if I asked for it, as long as she was alive, if there was any way possible, Miss Helen was going to make sure the preacher had vegetable soup. And I also knew that I wasn't going to get enough for one day. But she's going to bring some cans too. Somebody say amen. And I knew that I was going to have that. But the only way I got, she was going to do it anyway. But understand the application. I had to ask for it. I had to ask for it. Are you with me? The reason we might not be getting is because we ain't asking. Because we ain't asking. What are you asking God for? What are you believing God for? What are you trusting God for? You say, preacher, I've been praying a while for it, and it just don't seem it's coming to pass. Just keep knocking. Just keep knocking. Just keep knocking. My sister called me. I don't know, it's been a month or two ago now. It was early one morning she called me. She said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to get the boogers out of my eyes and get going. What are you doing? Your daddy's been over here. And I always like it when she says, your daddy. Because I know he's done something. We never say your mama. We always say my mama. But there is times when I do call her and say, your daddy. And she'll say, well, what's he done now? She said, your daddy's been over here. I said, well, what did he do? She said, John, she said, for 2 weeks, we've run ourselves to death. And I told Jeremy when I went to bed last night, don't you bother me. I'm going to bed. And I'm not getting up until I wake up. And she said at daylight this morning, all up and down the side of my house, somebody was beating on the side of the house. They'd go to the door, beat on the door, and then they'd beat down the side of the house. I said, your daddy come over there, didn't he? You know what he was doing? He was expecting. And he was determined that Rebecca would be dedicated enough to get out of the bed and come to the door. And she did. I got a phone call after it. You know what? That's the way. Not in a disrespectful way, but that's the way we approach our Father. Expecting that when I say, oh God, Would you let your ear now be attentive to the prayer that thy servant makes unto thee? He says, yes, sir, son. Yes, sir. Our prayer life.